Welcome back to Overdunk, everybody, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am your host, Zoinks, joined as always by Bridget and Dubsnax. And yes, in the pre-show, if you were here on stream, you heard us talking about the fact that Bridget and I are, in fact, washed up gamers. We are ultra heads. We are stuck in ultra hell. Yet Dubsnax, the champion of competitive gaming on this trio, has achieved master's rank. That's right. If you're watching the stream, there is a halo above Dubsnax. It is glowing in his room right now. Dubsnax, please tell us the trade secrets. How on earth did you get to master's this season?
Okay, this is what you do. You get to ultra one, three diamonds.
Okay.
You have your little experience bar, be it 390 out of 400. Then you pop that rank protection card. Okay. Now you have a 10-minute game. If you win it, obviously you're in. But if you lose it, you're still in, baby. All you got to do is get MVP in that defeat. And then what happens is you get your experience points from the MVP. So your bar goes over 400, but you lost. But your rank protection card's there, so you don't lose a diamond. So you're still technically at Ultra 1, 3 diamonds. You get over 400 experience points. Bang! Masters.
I love it. I love the tech. The MVP on a loss, but still technically counts tech. And the guys in Masters. Bridget, we gotta try this.
Yeah, if I ever get to Ultra 1, 3 diamonds, I'll buy a rank protection card.
Okay.
Just for science.
Distant future. It's a distant future. But Bridget, obviously, I know you've been gaming. You were streaming last night. How have the games been this season? They've been struggling. You've been having some fun. What have you been playing these days?
It's been pretty painful.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Not a lot of winning, you could say. I am solo queue support, so really whose fault is it, you know? Yeah. But I duoed a little after stream, and it was, I think I'm still an Ultra 2, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, I think I'm up, but am I? Maybe neutral.
I mean, I'm on this podcast, and I think I made it to Ultra 4, but I might still be Ultra 5. I honestly don't remember. I actually had some great games today before the podcast in solo queue. I was doing quite well, but last night I was streaming a little bit. I was attempting more Ghost Ironmons. I am so sorry to whoever got to encounter my Sableye on the ladder. It is atrocious. Dupesnax just started up the Metafy. I'm going to need to go for not the casting. I'm going to need to go for Sableye coaching because I literally looked like I was playing with 10 thumbs on my screen when I was trying to play that Pokemon. It was atrocious how bad I was. I need some work for sure. But Dupesnax, tell us about the greener pastures. What was your route to masters like? What is the way? Print the self-help book, please.
So I unironically got a good chunk of it through the score comp stream.
Sick. Yeah.
Because we went like 12-5 or something like that.
Okay.
And cool. On like 10 of those 12 wins was not score comp. It was flipping Ray and winning it, right?
Yeah.
Well, like I secured one with Sableye Unite. We had a rollout Wigglytuff where Bruv just yeeted in there and like the pop-up from rollout was the one that secured it. So like pure chaos. So just a lot of luck in that scenario. But once we hit Masters, I've been playing a lot of Sableye. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get my Sableye win percentage to 50%, and it is a tough, tough haul. I actually started playing with a bunch of different like duos and trios that I've picked up in the LG server.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly difficult, whether solo or even with other individuals you're communicating with, to switch how your play styles, because like Sableye plays different, but your teammates need to play different with you.
Oh yeah.
So like I'd hit like one trio where, you know, we went 5-1 or 6-1 right. I was playing Sableye and we were just kind of had like a pretty easy coalesced plan. And then other duo trios where we'd go like 1-3, 2-4, where it was just like, they couldn't switch the script to play the way I was playing. Does that make sense? Because Sableye needs you to play with them. Sableye is kind of like a proactive support rather than a reactive support to the players that are carrying the team. Right. Because it forces players to like, okay, you don't actually want to go for the basement Reggie. You actually just want to sit on pad because the pads become your healing Pokemon for your team. So that's where you want to take as many fights as possible, because you're almost always fighting down. And even if the Sableye is there, they're not healing your team up. So like when you take fights, that's why you want to be on pad. That's why you want to insulate your pads early. So it's just, long story short, that's been an interesting up and down. I've also been kind of getting in the ear of a Twisted, who's a really good Sableye player, and learned ton in terms of just how the passive works, the shadow notification, stuff like that, how to use that to isolate down where people are, and how to engage based on that. So it's been a lot of fun bouncing between that and Hoopa. So we're out here, baby. We're out here. Supports for life.
Twisted's a good shout for a Twisted's a brainy gamer. Like that guy knows the numbers.
He is also on Metaphyzoink. So if you're trying to get your Sableye game up, that's who you are. Nice. I mean,
sounds good.
I pay Twisted. I said, hey, take a look at this VOD. Let me know what you think. And the amount of notes and stuff that Twisted provided me was incredible value.
Okay.
And also, so like, that's just something I do, is I try and get Metaphy coaching from pros in different aspects of the game, because I think it helps by casting
a lot,
because they break down their role very, very well, which means it kind of helps me understand what they're thinking about, how, you know, how drafting. Long story short, there's tons of great resources out there. Use them if you
want. Fair.
Bridget, and I'm not one of those resources.
Okay, fair. Bridget, any player to shout out? They got a Metaphy that people should chase down.
I'm not really getting coach. I'm just kind of vibing.
Yeah,
I have played. When I did a content creator tourney, I played with Twisted. He actually jungled Zera, I feel like, the whole tourney.
Okay.
I think we got third or something. We did really well.
Sick.
I was getting barely boosted, but he was great. We just let him cook, and it was definitely on remote. It was remote days, but okay. Yeah.
Wow, all the way back in the remote days.
I don't even think he was playing supports yet and stuff, but he was really a really goated Zera.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's sick. Okay. I mean, folks, if you're trying to improve your game, obviously the podcast could be one resource for it, but let us just point you to the true experts of their field, if we could do anything at all. But today, the main topic of discussion we're going to be discussing on Overdunk, of course, is the newly minted Unite Championship Series rules. We got them in right under the timer. First UCS qualification tournament not happening this weekend. A banger tournament is happening. But the next weekend after that will be the event in February. And the rulebook is out. There are a few pretty key changes. We've discussed some of them on the podcast already, because that first kind of announcement that the Unite Championship Series put out there did have some information of a few tournaments, like, of course, AOS Cup changing at EUIC, the introduction of a Last Chance qualifier event in North America. But there are a few other changes throughout the rules that I thought would be kind of interesting to go through. So let's just hit a few of them. One thing I know we talked a lot about leading up into the event, and chat, if you have any things that you want to talk about the rulebook, please let us know. But one of the things I thought was really interesting is that, of course, prize money has now been awarded to every single monthly cup. This is pretty fantastic. This is, in my theory, by the way, I think a lot of these changes are focused on bringing new players into the competitive field. There's a few changes like that, but I think this is one of the biggest ones. Let's increase the participation numbers for every single tournament if available. And so now every monthly cup, this will include the AOS Cup qualifiers, March and April Cups, they will all have a prize pool of, I believe it's $3,500. So $1,500 to first place, and then going down from that point. So yeah, $3,500 for every single monthly. I think that's pretty fantastic. Any thoughts on that from the two of you?
Money, good.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the ticket. Yeah, I mean, putting, you know, people kind of felt lost. I feel like, especially season one, when nobody understood how CP mattered, when it didn't actually. And then even in year two, where you had to commit to it to just get CP, but that's a lot of time to commit. Like now being able to kind of sustain yourself, or at least have a reason to compete, even if it's not for CP, right? There's teams that literally fell off once they weren't in the CP race because there was no path for them to get to Worlds, but now there's a reason for them to keep showing up on these Saturdays try and compete for this money. So that's definitely a good thing.
Absolutely. We already actually have a question in chat saying, is it more than last year? Well, obviously the monthlies are a greater prize pool. I was taking a look at this. I know that Worlds is the same. It is a $500,000 prize pool for the World Championship final. Regional finals remain the same for every region with a $50,000 prize. However, AOS Cup has changed in a couple of ways. Like, you have to kind of reframe how we think about AOS Cup, right? Where before, it was a very big prize pool tournament for every region. They each would have their big prize pool. That has been taken away, but then sort of reallocated to the monthly cups. And then AOS Cup has a much bigger prize pool because it is an invitational, a much higher pedigree, blah, blah, blah. So that is, it's definitely looking in a brand new way. But I would say that, yes, this is a much different price tag being awarded behind it. If there's $100,000.
Yeah, so, you know, where they've shifted the money around for the top teams, is there, like, less opportunity in one event? Yes, but the collective opportunity for every person participating is higher, which is really where you want to be, right? Teams a little bit on the outside looking in to always have a reason to come back and play. And that's what this does. Mm-hmm. Or at least it gives an incentive to, whereas before there really wasn't.
Yeah. I think it's a major way to do so. And let's actually talk about CP a little bit, because we were already discussing at Dupesmax. A bit of a change from what I can remember. So I had this up recently, and now I have to find it again. Of course. Actually, was it on that same page? I believe it was on that same page. Yes, here we go. Okay, let me bring it back onto screen. So the championship points allocation, in my mind, have changed a little bit as well, if I remember correctly, because the championship points we're looking at are the AOS Cup online qualifiers March and April, so basically the monthly cups. First place will now award 300 championship points, whereas AOS Cup will now award 500 for first place, 400 for second, third will be 320. Now, reminder, AOS Cup will also award a world slot. So whoever earns the 500 championship points will kind of be laughing all the way to the bank, because they will take a world championship spot and steal a 500 CP value for whatever team is in second, which is kind of interesting to think about. However, this is also for the regional championships as well, which is very important for qualifying. However, I still believe in most regions, the regional qualifier will also make it there. But now, as different to last year, fourth place in a AOS Cup or regional championship will now be less than AOS Cup. I think it's a slight shift from last year. I believe top four in regionals was still higher than a monthly final. So it is slightly different.
And it's a lot less, like, right? The sheer volume is less. Wasn't it like 1,500 or something for like a first place?
Yeah, they've like pared down the numbers in general, I think, is another thing. But yes. I'm getting a question from chat. How many points to qualify for Worlds? So, Beamer, I'm assuming you come from another Play Pokemon title like Go or TCG or VGC. Unlike those titles where you just have to meet a certain championship point threshold to qualify for Worlds, only a few slots are awarded per region. So it is just however many points you get, you need to be in that top regional number. That's the other big thing. Maybe we should talk about regional allocations for who makes it. So here we go. We're taking a look. Brazil will remain at 2. Europe will go down to 3 slots. Latin America North will stay at 3 slots. Latin America South will stay at 2 slots. North America will go down to 3 slots. Oceania will stay at 2. And then AOS Cup and Final Stretch will both be awarding 1. The AOS Cup winner, though, will, of course, get the Travel Award to Worlds. So quite a bit different. I have some opinions on this. I know a lot of people have opinions on this. This might be our main talking point. But Bridget, I want to start with you. How are you feeling about the... I mean, basically, when it comes down to it, is Europe and North America losing a guaranteed world slot this year?
Yeah, I definitely feel pretty conflicted. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're losing a guaranteed spot, NA right. and Europe both.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have the advantage of the in-person events being in their region. I know it's kind of still dicey because it's mm-hmm. weird that those kind of open bracket tournaments are happening at the same time as...
At least the final stretch will.
Yeah,
from what we've learned so far, it sounds like EUIC will be leading into it, but yeah.
Oh, okay, okay. That makes more sense. That I feel like I'm more in favor of. Yeah, the NAIC one will be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to feel.
Well, let me lay out the a bit of the land here, I guess, before we get into opinions here. North America. Yeah. So, yes, the final stretch will be happening at the same time as the top eight bracket will happen. So, yes, there will be, let's take a look at the North America qualifications. First place in the regionals finals will earn a slot at Worlds and will have the travel award. Then, the team with the most championship points earned, of course, the regional finalists will be removed from that race if they are also the point leader. The first team will also make it to Worlds and will have their travel award earned. This is like Amaterasu from last year. The second place team in total championship points earned will also get their invite, but they will not have that paid travel award. So this is, again, two paid slots for North America, which is the same as last year. So that is not changing. So second place team in total championship points earned, as you can see. The difference that we have to remember, and I'm not saying it's like a saving grace of the situation, but the thing we have to remember is the final stretch is not a paid event. It will have no prize pool. The only prize is for first place getting a world slot. It does not award a travel award, and it will not be an event where people are paid to attend. Like the regional finals, players will be able to qualify through the open bracket and then will be paid to attend the event and will have a chance at prize money being paid out all the way through the top eight bracket. So the final stretch is a huge risk. It just has a large carrot at the end of it. It's much more of a gamble. But the question is, if a team is ranked seventh or eighth going into that top eight bracket, would they want to instead just play in the final stretch, give up their travel award, if they would have to, who knows, and play in the final stretch instead? That is kind of the lay of the land, if you will. So knowing all of that, Bridget, does that change your opinion around the final stretch as an LCQ or anything like that?
I mean, I, as like a viewer and a fan, I am excited for it. I think it's going to, it's interesting and cool, and I like that it's like an all LAN tourney. Like, it's not something that you qualify for online first. Like,
right.
It's something you, at least to my knowledge, Unite hasn't done before.
No,
so,
absolutely not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really interesting. So, but yeah, logistically and as a player, I feel like it is a little muddy still. I'm not sure how.
Bridget, before we jump to Doom Snacks here, I want to know, obviously, last year you attended NAIC as a spectator, right? You
yes.
came, you hung out, you watched the event. It was an absolute blast. We all loved having you there. I'm sure you loved being there. if you were to attend NAIC again in year number two, would you attend as a competitor in the final stretch if you could get a team together? Or would you go strictly as a spectator to watch the top eight bracket?
That's a good question. That's so hard because I'd want, like, I just feel like ideally you'd want to do both, right? It just
right.
really stings.
Which that might still be possible. I mean, it kind of depends
True.
On how long you make it in the final stretch, right? It will most likely
well,
be held on
I
day
would
one.
Win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
I have no plans to compete
okay.
by any means. But I feel like that poses like a super fair question
yeah.
for a lot of people, honestly.
Well, I honestly, I'm kind of curious about your opinions on it, just because I feel like if any type of person is going to be, like, attracted to this tournament, you're the target audience, right? You're a huge Unite fan, you're a fan of the competitive scene, and of course you have a background in competitive Unite as well. So this is trying to get people like you back into competing. Like, I mean, if I don't get the chance to cast at EIC, which I'm really hoping I will, I would absolutely play in the final stretch. That would be so much fun. And we'll talk more about the format. I just saw Dextro talking about the format of these events in chat. We'll definitely talk more about them, because I honestly think that's a super exciting, positive thing. But we'll definitely get to that in a moment. But Dupesnacks, thoughts on the final stretch LCQ controversy that has kind of stemmed from this rule book?
Yeah, I think it's like the air quotes controversy, like, is it perfect? No. Is it really good as a whole? Like Bridget said, I agree, it's super exciting. Kind of have this, and it's easy for me to say as somebody that, you know, wouldn't ever find myself in a situation to be a top eight player in the top eight teams, but like, it is such bad equity as the seventh or eighth team to drop into the final stretch or whatever it's called, because you give up championship points, guaranteed money, and the same single shot at going to Worlds anyways.
Yeah.
And if you ask any trading card game player, would you rather play a 3-round tournament with all of the best players in your area, or a 10-round tournament with the worst players across the United States? They would always choose the 3-round tournament because you minimize the variance that you have to overcome.
Interesting. Okay.
And that's just, and you know, on a competitive level, like, I'd like to think if you're truly competitive, you want to be playing against the best. And if you earned your spot to play against the best for that shot for Worlds anyways, we're going to have to play the best again. Like, you wouldn't drop down. So I understand how it's frustrating, because those on the bubble would like, ah, man, I'd really like two bites at the apple, right? Because that's really what they're upset about. They're not upset about how either of them are laid out. They're upset that they don't get to do both. They don't get to double dip. But I think the incentives were built in fairly well for the top eight teams to kind of insulate ourselves from a team to say, no, I'd rather do this one, because it's a much bigger risk. Yes, the carrot is large, but it's the same size carrot that's at the end of the other one minus money. So it's like, what decision tree are you following to leave guaranteed money and the same opportunity for this open kerfuffle? So I understand where the drama is, but the drama is based around double dipping. It's not based around how either one of them is structured. And if that's the worst thing we got going on surrounding this thing, then that's a pretty big W. And
I
agree.
I totally agree with your final point. I think it is a overall large W. I'm very excited about this concept, mostly because, again, I see the vision that Unite Esports is trying to do into getting more people involved. Because let's face it, year two participation numbers were nowhere close to year number one across the board. And we definitely want to keep those like a solid level across the entire year. But even just trying to raise the numbers year to year is so important for our game to thrive, to get new players involved, new talent, new ideas. That is so important. So, but that does come at the cost of basically North America losing a guaranteed slot technically. And the best way to probably read it is we will have three top level teams from North America and one outside team that played in the LCQ to qualify. I would say it is fair to say the fourth best team in North America will probably not be able to participate in the World Championships. If we consider the like entire season and regional qualifiers kind of a perfect system in the vacuum, which I'm not saying that is either, but if we are to kind of accept that idea, then yes, most likely the top fourth place team will not be at Worlds representing North America. Am I super upset about that? I don't know.
Can I chime in real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
There is a very real possibility, and that a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, I mean a non-zero number, EU players travel for that final stretch. Like the West LATAM can move to go to that, right? LATAM, exactly, are going to move up. It's New Orleans, like it's a southern state as well. It's not like trying to get to Columbus. It's a little bit more
like Mexican teams could drive, like
It's a lot more accessible for non-NA teams. So like that, it's NA skewed, but it's actually an at-large bid, right? So you might not even be missing out on the fourth best NA team. You might be missing out on whatever, the second best Mexican team. I don't know. Sure. I had to look at the numbers. I'm just spitballing here, but you kind of get what I'm driving at. So that's also something that is pretty cool. Like,
absolutely.
Yes.
Like, what a cruel story would be like, oh, this Mexican team that didn't get to participate in this due to personal reasons, drive to New Orleans and spike this final stretch tournament. And all of a sudden they're like, that's a sick story too. And as a caster, like, that's the type of storyline I want to be able to talk about if I'm casting Worlds.
Yeah.
Is this Cinderella team that won this final stretch off this crazy whatever it is. Shout out to Spragos for the big time raid. So, again, I'm a big fan. I understand where the animus is coming from. I get it. I'm not dismissing that. It's from an outsider looking in. It's hard for me to even consider that side of the scale because the other one is so heavy with positive.
Yeah, I was going to say, the way I look at it is a net positive for every group of people except the bottom of the top players in North America. Like, it is a overall positive for so many groups in so many ways. But yes, this specific group, and of course, that is, I mean, top level players are my entire timeline. So that is mostly what I'm seeing in terms of discourse. But overall, I do think it is an incredibly positive change. Bridget, do you have any more thoughts on this now that we've gone really deep on this North America losing a slot and the final stretch happening at the same time as the regional finals, which I think is the difference between EUIC and NAIC. Like, EUIC has a chance that crossover. Anyway, talk to me. Any more thoughts on the final stretch and NAIC?
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you guys were saying. I think it is a net positive. I just don't want to be, like, selfishly saying that, but you guys phrased it a lot better. And let's be real, not a lot of NA and EU teams made it to day two.
Yeah.
This year, guys.
One out of the eight did. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. The four spots each, so I don't know if it was on
Overdunk, but when we were talking about, like, hypothetical setups for UCS season 3 in the Wayback Machine, I'm pretty sure I mentally axed a team off of NA and EU just off the rip with no strategy as to how that actually impacts, like, the strategic world scenario of how many teams qualify. I was just like, nope, three for each. Just move on. Also, Spragles pointed out earlier in a chat that Zoinks and I have.
And in our chat just now.
Oh, yeah. The fact that OCE has two spots is also mad criminal, too. So we'll see.
Two paid spots, by the way. I think last year they only had one paid spot. Yeah. First place regional.
Well, you know why they have two paid spots? Because if one of those two teams isn't iClan, it's one team going. So if they actually want two teams there, and iClan doesn't actually qualify if they even play, that's a way
they
to mitigate
take
that.
Take away OCIC, so it's the least they can do.
Yeah,
fair.
Yeah, no, honestly, can we please lament OCIC just for a moment, please? Okay.
Thanks for funding regionals, OCIC. Exactly.
Thank you. Yeah, actually, we'll talk about Travel Awards in just a second. I did want to clear up one thing. Ice, who is a player in APAC, had posted a image from the Start GG sign-up page for the World Championship Series, which had listed all the Asia teams only getting one spot each. That has been clarified to be an incorrect statement, and it is being corrected. And it might already be changed. So Gamma saying it's already changed in our chat. Okay, sweet. I don't know if it has the correct amount of teams in there. I can look it up probably while we're doing this show, but we'll take a look at that. So we don't exactly know how many teams from Asia will be qualified for Worlds, but in terms of North America, EU, theoretically it's the exact same if you consider final stretch and NA slot and AOS Cup and EU slot, which it technically doesn't have to be, which is exciting. So let's talk about maybe my favorite aspect and what I think really cements this idea of this is a get new players playing our game mentality towards creating this championship series for season 3 is the AOS Cup, like last chance qualifier at EUIC, and the final stretch will both be played in Swiss format. Yeah. Which is so sick. And a lot of people don't understand what Swiss format is, who are been playing in a lot of Unite tournaments, or just they watch Unite tournaments. They're all double elimination brackets for the most part. Swiss format, basically, you get paired against a random opponent in round one, you play your set, and then the next round, you play someone with the same record as you. So if you win, you play someone else who won, and so forth throughout the day to try to get the best teams at the top level. This is amazing for a lot of reasons. It works well for open brackets because there's no way to seed, especially if you just have five Joe Schmoes coming up off the street wanting to play in some Unite. Get them in there. Let's get them competing. But you don't want them to be thrown off. But the second thing is, if you're a team that is, it's your first time playing in a tournament and you're not very good, you can stay in it for as long as there are Swiss rounds. If you go 0-4, you could still go and have a great time playing Unite and enjoy yourself and get so much experience and like kind of learn the game and the scene and everything. I don't know. It's so fantastic and something I am very, very excited about when it comes to this event. I don't know if they are cutting to like a top four or something after Swiss to clarify the winner or how that will go. But normally with Swiss, you cut to a top eight or a top four, in some cases larger, but in this one, I don't think it would be either anything larger than either of those. And then you will play a single elimination bracket to find out who will get that first place spot. So I think that'd be really awesome. I don't know. I'm so excited about Swiss. Dupesnacks, you're the one with a lot of experience playing in Swiss. Obviously, you're a card game player back in the day. How are you feeling about Swiss format being implemented in a Unite tournament?
It's amazing. I've actually floated that idea for other grassroots events when we've discussed like how to tackle structure. We actually discussed it for our big Unite Mics event as well.
Yeah.
As a way to tackle that, you know, with the number of entrants that there would be. I think it's phenomenal. Like you said, it gives people the opportunity to play as much as they want to the extent of however many Swiss rounds there are. Now, if you're 0-3, team's not feeling it, you're all kind of, you know, you're on a razor's edge because everybody's stressed out and raging, then you can just drop and like buy and enjoy the event around you, right? Because you're at a huge Pokemon event, which actually turn out to be like mini Pokemon conventions. Which is great.
Calling them mini feels like an undersell. Like, and they are
fair.
Huge.
Yeah, that's fair. A Pokemon convention flat out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, great, great switch up. They've got the best in the biz TOing that in RK9 with what they've got. They're the ones that do, I'm pretty sure, all the TCG, all the VGC stuff. I actually know the family that runs that reasonably well. They're just amazing people, so they're going to treat us right. They're going to hook Unite up. It's going to be an awesome experience, and I really hope, to your point, Zoinks, it gets a lot of people not only invigorated in competing, but hopefully we can see that flat line of numbers, you know, high level signups, and that continue all the way through the year. That's like the one metric that's dropped off in Unite, right? Player base as a collective that just log in is up. Viewership in our competitive events way up. But the amount of people willing to compete is down. So you can see how they're trying to mitigate that and bolster that back up and right the ship by putting money at each cup, by doing Swiss in these, adding the open events, but making them Swiss rounds as well so people can compete as much as they'd like. Mm-hmm. So a lot of thumbs up changes. I'm right there with you, Zoinks. This is a big time W. So, I mean, For all the flack people want to throw at UCS, man, they have made improvements year over year so far, in my opinion.
Yeah, this seems so exciting to me. But Bridget, how about you? Are you a Swiss hater?
How could you hate it? How could you hate it? It makes so much sense. There's a lot of pros. So the final stretch will be on like the Saturday of NAIC, we think.
I think
like
the Friday eight. And Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, oh, it would be cool if... Because obviously VGC and TCG have a bazillion people sign up. It would be cool if people who were maybe dropped day one of those could have an opportunity to do final stretch stuff too.
I don't know if I'm making this up, and I'm sure I am. This feels like a pipe dream rather than... in fact, but there's a great opportunity here, which I hope they do, to add the final stretch finals to kick off the event on Saturday.
The day
to kick off, to kick off the regional day two or whatever, you know, that would be so nasty. And then like, you have two teams hooked immediately after that.
Right.
Like, we guarantee ourselves from each one of those events to have two more hyper-competitive teams going. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just no chance that you get put on stage out of an event you just showed up to game with your buddies, and now you're like, oh, I'm playing for a world spot. I'm on stage. This is, like, the real esports vibe. Like, they're, like, you have hooked two teams. And then, by proxy, you hook all of the tangential people that were like, oh, man, we just made top four. We're one game away from being, you know. So, like, I hope they do that, because I think that just has a positive ripple effect all the way through the whole thing they're trying to build up to.
If we don't get a final stretch team on stage, I will be devastated. Like, yeah, that needs to happen. That needs to happen.
That would be tough.
But yeah.
Yeah, because I assume it won't be, like, broadcasted, like...
If it interferes with the regional broadcast, I don't think it will. However, I think there's a chance that, like, if we finish something for regionals, that there's a time to fit it in. I think on the final day of regionals, there's definitely time to play with. Those days have ended very timely in the past in terms of, like, the final day. So I think, Doofsnax, your idea of opening the broadcast with that is awesome. Also, the top eight teams will get to sleep in a little bit more, something that they're always whining about not being able to do, so maybe they'll be happy about that and kind of get their nerves out by watching some teams who just showed up through that event. And also, if the final stretch kind of works as we all hope it will, and we get like a top EU team who just missed qualification and like a top LATAM team who just missed qualification, it's like a world's preview at the same time. Like, it'd be so sick. So I am personally very, very excited about it. My dog absolutely losing her mind. But we will, I'm pretty pumped. So, Bridget, after all of that, are you convinced to play in the final stretch at NAIC if you attend?
I really wasn't considering it even a little bit until you opened your mouth, which seems to be a theme. I never want to compete unless Lynx is like, hey, but what if you did?
What if you did compete? What if you did? What if we made a team and we lost?
What if? You guys just don't cast.
Yeah, exactly. It's the way. It's just the way. Yeah.
It'll be perfect.
Awesome. Okay. I think Swiss being there, and we mostly just talked about it in the final stretch, it will also be happening in the open qualifier for EOS Cup, which is like the in-person event too, which I mean is exciting in its own right. I feel like the final stretch will just have more participants just on the fact that it offers a world's invite at the end of it. That makes a lot of sense. I also had somebody in chat mentioning, and it was Dextro, and you know, I trust most things that Dextro says. They're pretty smart cookie. They know their stuff. Saying that these events are capped at 32 teams. I think that's fine. Like,
yeah, that's a logistical thing. That's like what they know they can get away with safely, and that's
right.
Like,
I mean, there's five players on each team. Like, that is a lot of people still. Like, we're not going to hit that number.
Yeah.
We are not going to be hitting 32 for either of these events. So that is pretty cool. But yeah, the last thing that we didn't really talk about, any team is eligible to qualify, any TPCI playing region. So any Western team, Oceania, LATAM, Brazil, North America, or EU are allowed to participate in that event. So if you want to make the trip, you absolutely can. We don't have Worlds dates yet, but I assume they're usually within around a month after NAIC, somewhere in there. So I mean, team could make a really long extended trip to North America, come through, get qualified, go to Honolulu. It'd be pretty sick. So the potential is there, certainly. I think we talked the in-person events kind of to death, or to knockout, sorry. I think we've gone through them as much as we can. Other things that we wanted to discuss. I personally wanted to bring up the fact, and I had a little TO in my ear, mentioning a bunch of the cool new things that are coming to the game. And one of those changes is something that ACL has been doing for quite some time, and quite a few grassroots tournaments has done it. But now, the team that loses in the first game of a best of three set will now get to choose drafting side. So no longer will the second place team just be beholden to second draft side two games in a best of three. Now it will be higher seeded team gets first, I believe, just immediate in the first pick position. And then after that, loser gets to choose. So, yeah, I think that's kind of a cool idea. Bridget, you've obviously played in way more tournaments than Doofsnax and I have. Is that a change that you think, like, you would be excited to see as a player? Or is that just kind of, it's fine?
Yeah, I feel like especially if I was, like, smart at drafting.
Sure, yeah. It would be
very clear, like, oh, because the draft order matters a lot more depending on how many, like, broken, quote-unquote, Pokemon you feel are in the meta. So mm-hmm. if there's only one broken guy, obviously you want the first pick. But if there's a lot of broken guys, whatever.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that is... It makes way more sense mm-hmm. than just, like, switching sides or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't horrible before, but it does, I think, give them much more of a chance.
Okay, cool. Dubsnax, how about you? What are you thinking about that?
I echo everything Bridget just said.
Okay, great. Yeah, I guess it's not too much to say. It just feels like an overall positive change. More player agency is always going to give yeah. more interesting choices competitively. It's a very small way, but it does help showcase team kind of personality and team strategy, which is something selfishly for broadcast is very exciting. So a mm-hmm. big fan of that aspect of it for sure. Is there any more rulebook things that the two of you wanted to discuss now that we have them in front of us? Any you know, crazy new stuff that we have? I don't know. I feel like we hit most of the major ones. Mm-hmm. Any real nerdy ones that anyone's got of they can think of?
The time breaker being tardiness, I thought was funny.
Oh, wait, what is this?
One of the first, I think the first tiebreaker is tardiness.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think that's actually funny. Like most, I think that's actually most tournament events. I know it is in TCG. That is always the first tiebreaker is if you were late, it's the immediate one. I know this. And I unfortunately know this from literally playing in trading card game event. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen to me, but one of my good buddies was like, yeah, I was on the bubble and then they kicked me out because I was late to the event to sign up. And yeah,
hello.
Yeah, Gamma's like, that's all Pokemon events. Yeah, makes sense. It goes down to like their in-store events as well, so it's more than just like big regional titles and everything. Mm-hmm.
But... for sure
they run a tight ship for sure. One thing on DQs and stuff like that, another thing that I saw on the intel diving deep into the rule books, and again someone informed me of this one, but where in the past in draft screen, if there was a disconnect within the draft screen, players could not remake. Mm-hmm. You were forced to, you're kind of stuck in that position. Now the rules do allow for resets even within draft. So obviously, we have a... Actually, that's another thing we got to talk about. But we have a pretty incredible admin and TO staff incoming to our game that I am ecstatic about and very pumped. And I do think that they'll be able to handle all that that's coming their way if that does create issues. So I think that'll be pretty sick. But let's discuss that. My timeline was chock full of all the homies announcing that they are going to be a part of the admin team, a part of the tournament organizer crew. Like, literally so excited that Unite, like, went and took a big sweeping group of so many community members. So much of the Battle Hub staff got picked up. Obviously, resident moderator and chat hero and bestio in the scene, Gamma, got picked up to mm-hmm. be running these events, like tournament organizer, alongside Miss Mystic, who absolutely has so much passion for this game and this community. Like, we are, like, so beyond blessed this year with the admin staff and just being so endemic to the scene. It's something I am very, very excited about. I hope you two share the same thought. But
yeah, it's nice to see those people that put a lot of time into the community get some shine and they're you know, get their feet wet in the official stuff, because it can only be a positive.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like way more than deserved. Like, they've already put the tournaments on their backs anyway. Why not?
Yep. Facts,
have them do
facts.
It officially. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense. It makes sense. Well, yeah, I am pretty psyched about it. But I think I have finally ran out of cool things to talk about with all this news. I don't know if you two have anything else that we can even really bring up. But I think that's kind of reached my end of the rulebook stuff. How about you two?
No, that's the end of the rulebook stuff for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, closing the door on that in general, so excited for the season. Genuinely a ton of great changes. Honestly, the admin grouping from the community might be right at the top of the list for me for things that I'm very excited about, but I'm not going to lie. The in-person open events are something that I am so psyched about, mm-hmm. though. I am pretty pumped about that specific aspect of season 3. I can't wait. The only other topic I wanted to talk about on today's podcast, was a little bit of in-game stuff. We talked a lot about the competitive scene, so we might as well talk about the actual game that we cover, which we never really do. Listen, people have said it before, this season, they did something whack to matchmaking. I don't know what it is, but there are way more folks like Bridget and I stuck in matchmaking hell. I think people would agree. It's nuts out there. Have you two experienced this at all?
For me, it was last season. I don't know if, you know, it was like, you know, hey, let's start with group A, test group A, and then test group B or something. Okay. And I was just in test group A. But like last season, I think I ended with like a 43% win rate. It was my worst season by far, even mm-hmm. through like Mewtwo Winter and stuff. This season is not great, but it's not that. So for me, it's like, I can't complain too much because it's better for me. Mm-hmm. But some of the stuff I'm seeing out there is banana lands.
Yeah. Also, I got to mention, Tiff's in our chat saying they're stuck in Ultra Hell, but self-imposed solo queue in Clefable. Tiff, you have a 100% win rate against me in solo queue on Clefable, okay? You have no right to complain in this chat, because you are standing upon my grave right now and moonlighting over top of me, okay? Anyway, sorry, just had to
rant. Just the gravity stomps on your on your body.
Eternal hell.
Yeah.
Oh, the worst way to die. Okay, Bridget, how about you? Has the season felt a little weird matchmaking-wise for you?
Yeah, I maybe stated slightly at the beginning of the podcast, I'm not having a great time.
Okay.
So I do feel Tiff on the solo queue support grind. It's hard to find a good carry, and even if you do, I keep having the thing where we are literally winning the team fights, like 3-0 dead at Ray, mm-hmm. and then everyone just like disperses, and then we get wiped on the refight and we lose, and I'm like, I don't understand.
I don't understand the scatter calls either. I feel like sometimes I have it on my ping wheel or something. Like I'm throwing a smoke bomb and we all just like to every corner of the map.
I'm just
it's
like,
crazy.
We're literally winning. We just have to rip it. I don't understand. But also Meowscarada of players.
Okay.
What? I don't know what's going on with them, but wow.
Okay.
I'm getting like under 20k, guys. Put the cat away. No cat.
No more cat. No more. I promise.
I don't like the cat. I don't like the cat when it's on my team.
Fair enough.
So yeah, I don't know. I do think it's like mostly my own fault for running supports and being the highest MMR in my lobbies and still choosing to run the support. So yeah, maybe that's me.
Okay, cool. Ooh, that guy in our chat saying that Hitman moved to Cali to play with an NA.
Which
team.
One?
Which Hitman? GM or the other one? Is that what you're mentioning? Yeah. I think it's the Hitman that qualified for Worlds would be the one they're talking about. GM did.
Hitman
okay.
GM.
All right, cool. I think it's the top path player. Or no, Mage? I forget.
I wonder who they're going to end up with.
Yeah.
So that's actually something we should talk about. Next week's episode is going to be a really fun one because it is going to be the week before the first UCS qualifier. So I definitely have a bunch of ideas I want to run by these two. They're with TTV. Okay, hold on. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
About this later.
We have questions.
We'll interview later that guy. Okay. We
Well, that means we'll see him in the run up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll plug that right now, actually. We'll plug the podcast later. Plug the run-up right now. So, everybody in chat right now, if you're watching this live, sorry, podcast listeners, make sure to hit !! Shirt, because that also will give you the tournament information. But we, of course, at Unite Mics, are running a tournament this coming Saturday called the run-up, and we will be using all of the UCS rules. Oh my gosh, that's another one we didn't talk about. EX Pokemon have been confirmed to be banned from the tournament in the February Open qualifiers. So just as a heads up. But anyway, if you follow that link, or if you are listening in this podcast world a little bit later, you can buy the shirt up until the end of the tournament on the 27th. So you can go to the Unite Mics Twitter or X, whichever website you would prefer. And you go and you find that link. You go, you click that one, and you pre-purchase the shirt. $30, but of course we're covering shipping. And all the proceeds go towards increasing the prize pool for the tournament. But not only that, everybody, of course, the biggest reason is that the shirt is just dope as hell. Like, I have no other way to describe it. It is so good. It is a Hundo Burger t-shirt. We went for the nostalgia feel of the old drive-in, like, vintage tees, and of course Cloudbuster, an incredible artist in the community, literally worked on my favorite franchise of all time, it did the art for us. It's the coolest stuff in the world. I love it. So make sure to go get a shirt, help support the event, and of course at this point in time, tune in on Saturday to Unite Mics and watch a really sick event utilizing UCS rules. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, tight.
That's it. That's the sell. We did it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a way too long to be an elevator pitch, but I would do it if we got stuck in an elevator together. So just know, chat, that is what we're going to be doing. But I wanted to say, next episode, we'll probably be doing a little bit of team power rankings headed into some of these events. We got a lot of tournaments in January to rank these teams on. That's going to be really exciting. Heading into the first open qualifiers, we'll try to hit multiple regions if we can, because LATAM's been showing up in droves to these events. So power rankings next episode, bold predictions, bets, you know, maybe I'll shave my head, we'll have to see. I'm threatening it. No, I won't. Maybe we'll see. I don't know, depends how good the bet is. Anyway, we are gonna have a lot of really sick stuff to talk about next week, and I hope you're all there, but more so I hope you're all there on Saturday, because it is going to be a absolutely fantastic event. And I can't wait. But that's kind of my plugs for the day. Bridget, any plugs that you would like to do before we close up shop?
Nope. Same old, same old. I'm streaming, I'm tweeting. I'll definitely be hanging out in chat on Saturday. I'm excited to watch.
Cool. And of course, at 1 p.m. Eastern, since chat was asking. So 1 p.m. Eastern is start. If you're looking to play, registration will close an hour beforehand. So it'll be at noon. But Eastern. But okay. Dude's next. Any plugs or anything like that?
At Unite Mics on Twitter. Cool. That's it. That's the plug. And exclamation point shirt. Buy a shirt.
Buy a shirt, please.
Buy a shirt.
If you are watching this one on YouTube, please, of course, like the video. And if you want to comment down below what region you think is going to do the best in the Season 3 World Championships, I'm keen to say A, but I'm excited to see what all the regions will bring. I think that'll close us out for this episode, but thank you everyone for listening to Overdunk. I can't wait to see you on Saturday, where of course you can buy a shirt. We'll see you all then. Bye-bye!